This is a book called The Firework Maker's Daughter by Philip Pullman. Chapter 1. 1,000 miles ago, in a country east of the jungle and south of the mountains, there lived a firework maker called Lao Chand and his daughter Lila. Lao Chand's wife had died when Lila was very young, and the child was a cross little thing, always crying and refusing to eat her food. But Lao Chand built a cradle for her in the corner of the workshop, where she could see the sparks play and listen to the fizz and crackle of the gunpowder. Once she was out of her cradle, she toddled around the workshop laughing as the fire flared and the sparks danced. Many times she burnt her little fingers, but Lao Chand splashed water on them and kissed her better. And soon she was playing again. When she was old enough to learn, her father began to teach her the art of making fireworks. She began with little crackle dragons, 6 on a string. Then she learned how to make leaping monkeys, golden sneezers, and Java lights. Soon she was making all the simple fireworks and thinking about more complicated ones. One day she said, "Father, if I put some flowers of salt in the Java light instead of cloud powder, what would happen?" "Try it and see," he said. So she did. Instead of burning with a steady green glimmer, it sprayed out wicked sparks, each of which turned a somersault before going out. "Not bad, Lila," said Lao Chand. "What are you going to call it?"
"Tumbling demons," she said.
"Excellent. Make a dozen and we'll put them in the New Year festival's display." The tumbling demons were a great success, and so were the shimmering coins that Lila invented next. As time went on, she learned more and more of her father's art, until one day she said, "Am I a proper firework maker now?" "No, no," he said. "By all means, ha, you don't know the star of it, or the ingredients of flyaway powder. I don't know. And where do you find thunder grains?" "I've never even heard of thunder grains." "How much scorpion oil do you put in a croco fountain?"
"A teaspoon?"
"A teaspoon?
What? You'd blow the whole city up. You've got a lot to learn yet."
"Do you really want to be a firework maker, Lila?"
"Of course I do.
It's the only thing I want." "I was afraid so," he said. "It was my own fault. What was I thinking of? I should have sent you to my sister Jembavati to bring you up as a dancer. This is no place for a girl, now I come to think of it. And just look at you, your hair's a mess. Your fingers are burned and stained with chemicals. Your eyebrows are scorched. How am I going to find a husband for you when you look like that?" Lila was horrified.
"A husband? Of course, you don't imagine you can stay here forever, do you?"
They looked at each other as if they were strangers. Each of them had quite the wrong idea about things, and they were both alarmed to find it out. So Lila said no more about being a firework maker, and Lao Chand said no more about husbands. They both thought about them all the same. Now, the king of the country owned a white elephant. It was the custom that whenever the king wanted to punish one of his courtiers, he would send him to the white elephant as a present. And the expense of looking after the animal would ruin the poor man, because the white elephant had to sleep between silk sheets, enormous ones, and eat mango-flavoured turkey delights, tons of it, and have his tusks covered in gold leaf every morning. And when the courtier had no money left at all, the white elephant would be returned to the king, ready for his next victim. Wherever the white elephant went, his personal servant had to go too. The servant's name was Chulak, and he was the same age as Lila. In fact, they were friends. Every afternoon, Chulak would take the white elephant out for his exercise, because the elephant would go with no one else.
There was a reason for this. Chulak was the only person besides Celila who knew that the elephant could talk. One day, Lila went to visit Chulak and the white elephant. She arrived at the elephant house in time to hear the elephant's master losing his temper. "You horrible little boy," he roared. "You've done it again, haven't you?"
"Done what?"
said Chulak innocently. "Look," said the elephant master, pointing with a quivering finger at the white elephant's snowy flanks. Written all over his sour side in charcoal and paint was dozens of slogans. "Eat at the golden lantern," "Bangkok wonders for the cup," "Star of Indian Tandoor House," and at the very top of the white elephant's back in great big letters, "Chang loves lotus blossom true." "Every day this elephant comes home with graffiti all over him," shouted the elephant master. "Why don't you stop people doing it?"
"I can't understand how it happens, master," said Chulak. "Mind you, the traffic's awful. I've got to watch out for those rickshaw drivers like a hawk. I can't look out for graffiti artists as well. They just slap it up and run. But Chang loves lotus blossom true. Would have taken a good 10 minutes on a stepladder." "Yes, it's a mystery to me, master. Shall I clean it off?"
"All of it. There's a job coming up in a day or two, and I want this animal clean." And the elephant master stormed off, leaving Chulak and Lila with the elephant.
"Hello, Hamlet," said Lila.
"Hello, Lila," said the elephant. "Look what this ominous brat has reduced me to.
A walking billboard."
"Stop fussing," said Chulak. "Look, we've got 18 rupees already and 10 anans from the tandoori house. And Chang gave me a whole rupee for letting him write that on the top." "You're nearly there, Hamlet."
"The shame," said Hamlet, shaking his great head.
"You mean you charge people money to write on him," said Lila.
"Of course," said Chulak.
"It's dead lucky to write your name on a white elephant. When we've got enough, we're going to run away. Trouble is, he's in love with a lady elephant at the zoo. You won't see him blush when we go past, like a ton of strawberry ice cream."
"She's called Frangipani," said Hamlet mournfully. "But she won't even look at me, and now there's another job coming up. Another poor man to bankrupt. Oh, I hate Turkish delight. I detest silk sheets, and I loathe gold leaf on my tusks. I wish I was a normal, dull, great elephant."
"No, you don't," said Chulak. "We've got plans, Hamlet. Remember, I'm teaching him to sing, Lila. We'll change his name to Lucio Elephanti, and the world will be our oyster."
"Why are you looking so sad, Lila?" said Hamlet, Chulak beginning to scrub him down.
"My father won't tell me the final secret of firework making," said Lila. "I've learned all there is to know about flyaway powder and thunder grains and scorpion oil and spark repellent and glimmer juice and salts of shadow. But there's something else I need to know and he won't tell me."
"Tricky," said Chulak. "Shall I ask him for you?"
"If he won't tell me, he certainly won't tell you," said Lila. "You won't know he's doing it," said Chulak. "You leave it to me."
So that evening, after he'd settled Hamlet down for the night, Chulak called at the firework maker's workshop. It lay down a little winding alley full of crackling smells and pungent noises. Between the fried porn store and the baccy painters, he found Lao Chund in the courtyard under the warm stars, mixing up some red glow paste.
"Hello, Chulak," said Lao Chund. "I hear the white elephant's going to be presented to the Lord Pastor tomorrow. How long do you think his money will last?"
"A week, I reckon," said Chulak. "Though you never know, we might run away before then. I've got nearly enough to get us to India. I thought I might take up firework making when we got there. Nice trade.
Nice trade, my foot, said Lalchand. Firework making's a sacred art. You need talent and dedication, and the favour for the gods can become a before you can become a firework maker. The only thing you dedicated to is illness, you scamp. How did you become a firework maker then? I was an apprentice to my father, and then I had to be tested to see whether I had the three gifts. Oh, the three gifts, eh? Said Chulak, who had no idea what the three gifts were. Probably Lila did, he thought. And did you have them? Of course I did. And that's it. Sounds easy. I bet I could pass that test. But I've got a lot more than three gifts. Pass, said Lalchand. That's not all. Then came the most difficult and dangerous part of the whole apprenticeship. Every firework maker, and he lowered his voice and looked around to make sure no one was listening. Every firework maker has to travel to the grotto of Rovanzi, the fire fiend in the heart of Mount Merby, and bring back some of the royal souffle. That's the ingredient that makes the Phoenix fireworks. Without that, no one can ever be a true firework maker. Ah, said Chulak, royal souffle, Mount Merby. That's the volcano, isn't it? Yes, you pestilent boy. And already I've told you far more than I should. This is a secret, you understand. Of course, said Chulak. Chulak looking solemn. I can keep a secret. And Lalchand had the easy feeling that he'd been tricked, though he couldn't imagine why.